1 Kings chapter 16, verse 33. Notice this, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. I wanted you to understand, to know the character of this king named Ahab. Now, notice if you will, chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these days, but according to my word." Let me just say this, folks. I fear for America. I'm very concerned about this next election. Very concerned about who will be, if you let me use the word, the king here in the next 4 years. I worry about how far we've drifted from God. I worry about God doing something like he's did here to Israel to maybe give us a wake-up call. You ought to pray for America, amen. Pray for these elections. Don't just be an idle, unconcerned stander-byer. No, don't do that, okay? Well, this is our nation at stake here. Look at verse number 2. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." What an amazing, amazing story. The provision of Almighty God. Number 7, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as he was going, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat, the Bible says, many days. Verse 16, And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I'm going to preach a message I've entitled, The Amazing Story of a Miracle Gift. The Amazing Story of a Miracle Gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we're allowed to be here. I thank you for this special Sunday. And Lord, I thank you for your leading, your guidance, Lord, all during this building program. I thank you for the generosity of God's people. Lord, I want to especially thank you for those that have chosen to go beyond generosity and have entered the realm of sacrifice. Bless them in a special way. Bless them according to their willingness, Lord, to give. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. If there be one here without Christ as Savior, I would pray that they would be saved. Lord, according to the uplifted hands, we don't have visitors here today. Lord, this is a message really for the church. It's a message for God's people. And I pray, Lord, that you would use it, Lord, accordingly. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. The amazing story of a miracle gift. This is Miracle Gift Sunday. And as I prayed about this and prepared for this Sunday, God led me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 17, where we see the amazing story of a miracle gift. Could I share this with you? This is one chapter of many that we could have chosen today. All through the Bible, we have record of people that gave amazing gifts to God, and God took that gift and turned it into an amazing miracle. I guess most of us would right away think of the little boy that brought a lunch and so that he would have something to eat during the heat of the day as he went to hear Jesus preach and teach. And it was requested of him, that gift, that lunch, so that it could be given to Jesus to help others. And that little boy was willing to give everything, not just part, everything that he had. And that certainly could have been the text we preached from this morning of the amazing story of a miracle gift. You see, folks, no gift becomes a miracle until it's given to Christ. Let me say that again. No gift can become a miracle till it's given to Christ and to his service. I want to draw to your attention in this story just five amazing things that make up this amazing story. Number one, let me point out the amazing request, the amazing request. Look, if you will, in verse number 10. It says, "And so he," speaking of Elijah, "arose and went to Zarephath, and there, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, a gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said," notice this, "fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Now, folks, under ordinary circumstances, this would have not been an amazing request. This would have been something that would have been easily done, absolutely no problem. But remember, folks, we are in a time of drought in Israel. By the hand, the judging hand of Almighty God, he's reached down and he's taken his hand. You see, you watch the weather like I do, and you know, Kevin and his bow tie, and Jesse and his mushrooms, and if you watch our weathermen, and they show all of the different ways that the jet stream comes, and the jet stream either allows rain to come in or doesn't allow rain to come in, and all of the different fronts. Well, for 3 years, God just took his hands and placed it around the nation of Israel and deflected everything around so that no rain could fall. And don't you think that our God's still not capable of doing such a thing today? We're seeing some amazing things in the realm of weather in the past several years. The liberals are trying to make hay out of it and declaring it all the fault of global warming, but I wish that we would look at the sin problem in America. Because I think that the weather problems in America have nothing to do with global warming. I think what it has to do is it has to do with an unrepentant people that are heading as fast as a speeding train away from Almighty God. And all through the Bible, we see that God sometimes, we see instances where God uses weather to judge a nation. And here we certainly have this. Ahab was a wicked king. Now that we've read verse 33, you'll agree with this statement. There has never been a more wicked king that sat upon the throne of Israel than Ahab. And because of that, God chose to use unusual judgment in Israel at this time. We see an amazing request. Usually, I mean, if I was to stop right now, and I'm not doing this, but if I was to ask one of the young men here to listen, I'm having a little trouble with my voice, and listen, could you run back and get me a little glass of water, that would really be a very simple request. That's not asking a whole lot. But if we'd have had a drought for 3 years in America, and remember, Elijah sat there by the brook until it dried completely up, and water was a scarce commodity. And so what Elijah here requested was an amazing request. He requested a drink of water, but as she went and turned to go get the drink of water, so she must have had some supply of water. Verse number 11 says, "And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Now, folks, with drought comes famine. If we had not had a stitch of rain over the course of the last year, we would not be driving as we are up and down the roads and seeing these combines emptying out their surplus of corn and soybeans and other crops in this area. We would not be seeing that. If it lasted 2 years, if it lasted 3 years, folks, do you realize how scarce water would be, how scarce food would be? Yet here, Elijah, the prophet of God, comes during a time of great want, great need, great poverty, and of all people, he then comes to a widow woman. I mean, folks, this type of a situation, the honest truth is, forgive me for saying this, but it becomes a time of the survival of the fittest. Only the strong survive. And at least those families that had husbands, those families that had men, could go out and do their best to try to secure resources. But this is a widow woman trying to care for her only son. And Elijah, in this circumstance, says, fetch me. He's from Greene County. Fetch me some water. Fetch me a morsel of bread. And so we see, first of all, this amazing request. It's amazing because of the circumstances. It's amazing because he requested, listen to this, not of her abundance, but of her want. He requested all that she had left. You see, he requested not what she would have to sacrifice and her personally do without. He requested what she would have to sacrifice. Think about this, mamas. What he requested wouldn't only take food out of her mouth, it would take the last morsel of food out of her son's mouth. Now that's an amazing request, and yet we can read by the scriptures that it was a God-directed request by a prophet of God. This is not some charlatan on TV trying to rob a widow lady. This is a prophet of God directed by the hand of God, wanting and requesting for her to give an enormous sacrificial gift. You say, well, Brother Jerry, that's just another Bible example of a money-grubbing preacher. No, it's not. Because Elijah did not request this so that he could take from her. He requested this so that she could receive a miracle. So that she could receive a miracle. Number two, we see, first of all, number one, the amazing request. But with that request comes an amazing promise. Look in verse number 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So in verse number 13, we see the conclusion of this amazing request. Verse 13, Elijah says, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. So what he was saying was, listen, you've determined that you're going to make a cake for you and your son and eat it, and then you're going to die. But I want you to go ahead and do that, but I want you to make me a little one first, and then with whatever's left over, you make you and your son one. And I want you to bring me mine first, and then I want you to, from what's left over, make you and your son something to eat. Now, he was able to ask that because he was able to give her this promise. Verse 14, he said this, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. I wish you'd underline those two statements. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the oil, a cruse of oil fail. Let me give you this. As I talk about the promises of God, folks, I'm not what has been labeled as in this generation. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I have no patience with charlatans. You know, I heard this the other day. How do you like this one for a new approach of preachers trying to get money from people? And they say, if you give, then God will make you rich. One preacher said this. He said, go down to the dealership. Go to the Lexus dealership and find out what the first payment on a brand new Lexus would be. And then you take that amount of money and you send it to my ministry, and God will give you a brand new Lexus. Let me tell you, that was honestly what he said. Now let me tell you something, there's no Bible basis for that. I'm not going to stand up here and say, if you'll sacrificially give to God a miracle gift. And by the way, God sent Elijah the prophet to request this. Don't ever say, Brother Jerry doesn't have the right to ask for a miracle gift or a special offering. God directed the prophet of God to ask this of the people of God. And he did that in obedience to God. And the reason he did it was not to take from them, but so that they could receive a miracle. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that if you sacrificially give to God, you're going to get a new Lexus, or you're going to win the lottery. You shouldn't be playing the lottery, or that you're going to live in a $250,000 home, or that some rich great aunt's going to die and leave you a fortune. Let me tell you what I will promise you. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. That's what I will promise you. That if you're generous to God, generous to God's work, generous in this matter of giving, even sometimes out of your poverty, the Bible says the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. And I dare anybody who's faithfully given God the tithes and offerings that he deserves and has been tender-hearted towards giving above and beyond that, I dare you to find one of those people that have died of starvation. God provides for the needs of generous people. Now, we live in a famine, folks. We live in a spiritual famine right now. But let me tell you this. Let me say this. It's a right thing for us. You say, Brother Jerry, even economically, times are hard. Didn't you drive by the gas station again today? They're getting it back over $3. Amen. And we're still commanded to give tithes and offerings to God. We're still encouraged to participate in extra giving efforts that's presented to the local church. Folks, listen to me. A gift will never become a miracle till it's given to God. A gift will never become a miracle till it's given to God. And so he said, listen, I want you to do this. I want you to go give first to me. Give me first. He said, that's a selfish thing. No. This is what God directed. You see, God's not selfish for asking for the first fruits. He says, give me first, and then you make for your family out of what's left over. Give me your tithes first. Give me your offerings first. Then you make for your family what's left over. But listen to me, an amazing thing happened here. He gave her a promise. He said, listen, if you'll do this, this is what I promise you. You say, well, I already looked in that barrel. And you know what? There's just a few crumbs of meal on the bottom, just enough to make another cake, yeah? And there'll be just a handful of crumbs left the next day. And there'll just be a handful of crumbs left the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And you're going to make a lot of cakes out of that handful of crumbs. And you know what? It's going to last all the way until the rain begins to fall and God again waters the earth and food again becomes surplus. But give me first. But give me first. The widow might have said, well, I checked the oil and I checked it. There's just enough, just a little dab, just enough to help the meal to stick together so I can bake the cake. And he said, yeah, and tomorrow there'll be a little more left. And the next day there'll be a little more left. And the next day there'll be a little more left. Listen, there's no promise of riches. There's no promise of a mansion except in heaven. There's no promise of a Lexus. What there's promise of is if we'll obey God and be open-hearted and obedient in this matter of giving, as God leads us to give and if God directs us to give, then you know what? The barrel will always have meal and the cruse will always have oil. Amen. And then number three, we see an amazing act of faith. We see the amazing request, the amazing promise, an amazing act of faith in verse number 15. Here's what it says. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. You know, that took a lot of faith to do that. It took a lot of faith to do that. You know, she's looking over not just at her, as I mentioned, but she's looking at her boy. It took a lot of faith to say, you know what, that's God's man and this is God's request, and you know what? I'm going to take out of my want. I'm going to take everything we've got, and I'm going to just believe that God can provide. And you know what? The amazing miracle then follows verse 15. It says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat. How many? Many days. I heard a preacher one time preach on the subject of the scraping of the bottom of the barrel. You ever heard that phrase? Well, I'm at the bottom of the barrel. You know what comes from this Bible story? Now, I don't know how big of a barrel she had, whether it was a small barrel that she kept on top of the counter or a large barrel that she kept in the storeroom. But all I know is that every single day until the famine went done, as she reached down there with some kind of a utensil and scraped what was left of that meal together, that every time she did it, there was enough for another day's provision. Another day's provision. I heard an old evangelist one time preach on the scraping of the bottom of the barrel, that sound that that utensil made, the scraping of the bottom of the barrel. And you know what? God heard that, and he sent a prophet just in time, not to fill up her barrel, watch this, but to ask for what was left in her barrel. And can I say this? God sometimes does things just opposite of what makes sense to this world. And God blesses giving. And God blesses sacrifice. He always has and he always will. I haven't shared this story in a while, so I'll share it with you now. I remember when me and my wife was trying to finish Bible college and we had just gotten married. And I always say we didn't have two nickels to rub together. And that was the honest truth. We just barely made it by. I was working two jobs and trying to pay a school bill and pay all of the bills that of course a new household has, and trying to finish up my training so I could go into the ministry. And listen, if it wasn't for the generosity of some of God's people, we look back now and we think, how in the world would we have made it? That's the honest truth. By the way, I'm not the only one that's ever lived like this. If you get around in a mix of people in this room, I'm sure that there hasn't been too many of us at times that had very little, but we always had something. I remember one time, I think it was my parents that dropped off for us 50, somehow somebody gave us 50 pounds of potatoes and some green beans that had been canned. Listen, I've had potatoes and green beans cooked every possible way that you can imagine. I mean, that's what we ate, literally. That's what we ate for breakfast. That's what we ate for lunch. That's what we ate for supper. My wife became an amazing chef on what you can do with potatoes and green beans. You know, can I just say this a minute? I'm glad that there's been times in our lives we've had to live that way. No, I mean it. You know who I've... Don't feel sorry for somebody that's gone through those type of things. Feel sorry for the person that's never had to go through those type of things. I mean it. I mean, when I bow my head and say, thank you, Lord, and this is what I'll pray a lot of times at our table, I'll bow my head and say something like, Lord, you promised it and you've done it again. Thank you for once again putting food on our table so that we can eat. The reason I pray that from my heart is I know what it's like to have to say, give us this day our daily bread. But I remember one time my wife, we ate a lot of biscuits. You know, there's a reason grandma made a lot of biscuits. It wasn't just necessarily because everybody liked biscuits, because you could make them cheap. And they'd fill you up. Biscuits and gravy, you could make treat cheap and it'd fill you up. We ate a lot of biscuits. My wife always made them from scratch. We didn't have any of those hit the can that pop out of, you know. Those were too expensive for us. We had flour and grease and whatever else holds biscuits together. You can tell I'm a real good, I know all about this stuff. But she'd mix it all up and put it in the oven and bake biscuits. And there's been a lot of times biscuits have been a meal. I remember one time she was in the kitchen in that little dinky apartment. And she was crying. I said, what's wrong? And she said, she's looking in the flour container. She said, Jerry, it's been weeks and weeks and weeks since I've bought flour, but there's still flour. Weeks and weeks and weeks since I bought flour, but there's still flour. Say, Brother Jerry, she's just lost track of it. I don't know if she did or not. But I know this, we have a God in heaven that promised that if you'll put him first in your life, he'll take care of you. And he didn't promise you T-bone steaks every meal. Amen. He didn't promise you a chance to go out and eat it out back four times a week. It's amazing what we refuse to give up just to sacrifice for Almighty God. We're so spoiled. I think it'd do America good. I'm sorry, I don't want it. I've got children. I've got a grandchild. I don't want a famine. I don't want a drought. I don't want judgment. We live in such a spoiled society. We have so much, and yet we'll give so little. We talk about sacrifice, but the honest truth is very few Christians today actually have ever experienced true sacrifice. Give me what's left in that barrel. Give me what's left in that cruse of oil. Give it to me. Well, that's selfish of Almighty God. No, here's the deal. I'll keep that thing with some meal in it. I'll keep that thing with some oil in it till this famine's over and the rain falls again. You see, folks, the honest truth is we're not just robbing God when we refuse to give. We rob ourselves when we refuse to give.
We rob ourselves of provision. We rob ourselves of the opportunity to see a miracle. We rob ourselves of seeing the divine hand of God and see our faith built. There's so much we miss out on when we refuse to simply obey the prompting of God and step out and trust God to perform an amazing miracle. Number one, the amazing request. Number two, the amazing promise. Number three, an amazing act of faith. Number four, an amazing miracle happened. Elijah stayed there. He ate out of that barrel. That widow ate out of that barrel. That boy who was only going to have one more meal and die didn't die. So we see an amazing miracle. Now, number five, let me show you this, an amazing reward. You say, Brother Jerry, you already showed us the amazing reward. Verse 16 says, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of God, which he spake by Elijah. And so many times we stop there. Can I read down to the end of the story? And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. She said unto Elijah, what have I done? What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord. He said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him to the mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of God, word of the Lord, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Wow. I can hardly get through reading that. Amen. I couldn't help but think the first thought that came through this woman's mind. You know what? We're just as human as that widow lady. I wonder if the first thought when that prophet of God walked in and said, give me some water, and she's sitting there thinking to herself, I can't believe in this drought he's asking me, a widow, for water. And as she turned to go, he said, by the way, make me a cake too. And she turned around, she's got sticks in her hand. Don't you understand? I'm gathering these sticks to make a fire. We're going to have one more cake. Me and my son split it down the middle, and then we're going to die. She thought about, I can't believe that preacher asked something of me right now under the circumstances that I'm in. Elijah did not ask that for him. He asked it for the Lord. And you know what? You know what happened? Not only did she have plenty of meal and plenty of oil, not only did God reward her by not allowing her and her son to perish in the famine, later on God blessed her because when her child was found with no breath in him, that man of God who would have walked on down the road and found somebody else that was willing to participate in a miracle was still in her house. And took that child up and laid it on the bed, and he prayed and cried before God, and God answered a prayer. And not only did her son not die at the famine, not only was her son fed, not only son had enough food all during into the end of the famine, but when he died, a miracle happened. And you know what? The very excuse that we use for not sacrificially giving, no God, no God, you see, I need it for mine. I need it for me and mine. And God says, don't you know I can take care of you and yours? Let me give you one more story and then we'll close. Look right up here. Everybody look up here and we'll be done. I love this story. I heard this at a missions conference probably 25 years ago and I've never forgotten it. There was a rich, rich ruler that was traversing through a very poverty-stricken area of his kingdom, and he was coming along riding a camel with a great camel train. And a lot of these camels held evidences of his prosperity, riches, gold. I'm talking about anything you can imagine, food, resources, guards with huge swords, and everything spoke of his riches and splendor. There was a little family that walked aside the road, and they quickly got way off the road, and this man stood there with his wife. Obviously, by the way they were dressed, they were in abject poverty, little children with hollowed out eyes and protruding stomachs. And this man had secured, just gone to town and secured a small bag of corn. And this is what he had to get back to his village with and to try to sustain his family's life for just a few more days. And when this ruler came through, he stopped his camel and commanded everything to stop and requested this family be brought forward, and strong soldiers brought these family soldiers. Strong soldiers brought this family up so that the ruler could speak to them. And he looked at that man and he said, "Give me of the corn in your bag. Give me of the corn in your bag." And this man began to cry and weep, and he began to get angry, and he said, "No." He said, "Give me of the corn in your bag." He said, "You have everything. You have all these riches. This is all I have. I won't give it to you." He said, "Give me of the corn in your bag." And finally, the man, fearing the soldiers and fearing the situation, finally opened the top of the bag and just sprinkled out just a few kernels of corn. And very reluctantly, very angrily, he held his hand out and dropped it into the hand of the ruler. And he said, "Give me more. I won't give you more. Give me more. I won't give you more. Kill us. We're going to die anyway." And the ruler turned and made a command. And instead of soldiers descending upon this family to punish them, his treasurer was brought forward. An elaborate table was set up. And a set of scales was set up. And the ruler took the kernels of corn and handed it to his treasurer. And the treasurer put it on one side of the scale. And then he opened a bag of small pieces of gold. And he put it on the other side until they evened out. And he said, "Give me that." And there was just a few little flakes of gold. And he went like this and he said, "Here." And the man was amazed. And he opened his hand and he dropped these few little flakes of gold in his hand. He said, "That is a reward for your generosity." And he loaded everything back up and continued on towards his kingdom. And that man stood there with a bag of corn, this big, a bag of corn that if he would have given it all, given everything, it would have secured him enough riches to live like a king himself for the rest of his life. But you know what? He just wouldn't trust his ruler. He just wouldn't trust his king. He questioned the goodness of the one who was asking. And let me just assure you, God in heaven has never one time and looked down and said, "Give me," with the intent of keeping anything from us. It's Miracle Gift Sunday. Miracle Gift Sunday. Folks, I preach to a sacrificial people. I preach to a generous people. I preach to folks that regularly give. For the most part, I do not know your individual life, but let me share this with you. This sermon is not a gimmick, and your preacher is not a shyster. What I have shared with you is a rock-solid principle of God. And I will promise you that this is true. If you will learn in this area of your life to be generous to God, you will find out that He takes care of His own. God will be debtor to no man. He takes care of His own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that You'd stir our hearts. Seldom does the preacher mount the pulpit, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and preach on giving. Seldom. And Lord, in some ways, I do not feel as if I've preached on giving. I believe with all my heart that this truly is a message on receiving. I pray that You'd smite our hearts, Lord, for our selfishness and our materialism and our lack of faith and trust in God Almighty. We have a lifetime to look back and see how well You've taken care of us. And yet, so often when You point at our bag of corn and ask for it, we're so unwilling to give but just a few kernels. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to remember the scraping sound as the widow was scraping out her last bit of meal. Lord, I pray that You'd cause us to hear that in our sleep and hear that, Lord, in the daytime, and understand that there's a God that can take care of things and make sure that there's always a little bit more. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us, Lord, as we go about to do Your work, Lord, that You would bless it.
Lord, that you would cause us to be, Lord, for you, a generous people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.